Can a believer wander away from the truth and then finally be damned? And if that happens, do we then need to work toward helping them so that their soul does not go to eternal death? That's coming at you here this morning.
God's resistance.
Glad to have you with us here in this episode. We're continuing our series about the once saved, always saved doctrine. And I do want to say this oftentimes. There are definitely those that believe once saved, always saved, and it's not an excuse for them to sin. But then oftentimes this teaching is promulgated out in such a way that people that don't really have love for the Lord Jesus will use this as an excuse to continue to live wickedly and have really no care to walk with Jesus. And that is my main concern in going after this particular doctrine so far as the scripture is concerned, so that we can clearly see what's there and have proper expectations about the Christian life and not give the devil a place to turn what is supposed to be the most glorious news and victory in Jesus and turn it into something that essentially just keeps people asleep on their way to hell. So we are looking in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 here this morning. So it says, "Brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." I just want to read that one more time. "Brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a multitude, will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." I got myself lost there. I was thinking about something else. I wonder what that word wander means in the original Greek here, because that is very helpful. He first addresses these people as brothers, though, and I'm going to move over to a different thing here so I can check that out to find that out for a greater thing about wandering. But he does address them by brothers, brethren. He says, "If any of you do err from the truth or wander," as it said in the WEB translation that I was just looking at previously, "if brothers." So who is brothers? Now, if we go back to the beginning of the book of James, he does address it to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. So obviously these are Jewish people he's speaking with, but is it that they're just Jews and not converted? That's something we need to find out. As we look at the context of this particular chapter, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense that he would be talking about simply Jews. These were converted Jews. And I'm going to go back here to the scripture section and go up to, let's see, that would be verse 15 or maybe verse 14. Let's start there. He says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the assembly and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So this seems to be talking about the assembly of Christian believers. "Is there anybody among you that's sick? Let him call for the elders of the church or the assembly and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith will heal him who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." It appears to be that this is in the context of a local church, and he's speaking to these brothers as Christian brothers. And so if you want to argue this and go in so many other ways, I'm sure that there's ways people can do this. But if we look at the rest of the context of verse 19 and verse 20, it becomes even increasingly more difficult to say that this is not speaking to Christian believers. He says, "Brothers, if any among you," and that's the same among you that is talking about people being sick. "Is there any among you sick?" And he's saying, "Is there any among you? If any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin." So if any of you wanders. Now, if we look into, let me go back here to the King James Version, and this should have the Strong's numbers. If you look at here where it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err," that is the, I'm doing this because the Strong numbers is attached to it. And the Strong numbers, it says here, deceived. If any of you go astray, if any of you are in error, that is the original Greek there. Deceive, seduce, wandering, those kind of ideas. Its original Greek word is planeo. That is what he's talking about. So this wandering is somebody that knew the truth and then turned from it. They're wandering. They're going astray. They've been deceived. They are deceived. And now they're going away from what they knew was true. So he's saying, my brothers, my Christian brothers, if any of you do wander or err from the truth. So here are those people. If they have gone away from the truth and are going an entirely different way. So this leads us to believe that it is possible for you to know what the truth is, then to wander or go astray from it and turn away, right? And you've probably gone hiking in certain places where they have those little painted, you know, rectangles on top for trailhead markers or whatnot. And sometimes you see a trail going off, right? And you don't see the markers that are there, but you think, I don't know, my sense tells me if we go like this, that's going to hook up with where we're hoping to go anyways. For a while, you start walking that way, and all of a sudden, the trail just starts to kind of peter out, and then before you know it, there's just open forest there and no more trail, right? And the idea is if somebody wanders astray, to get them back on the path. So you can be going along in the ways of truth and righteousness and soberness, walking with Jesus with all of your heart, and somewhere along the way, you've either been deceived by somebody you've listened to that has told you this is not what the scriptures say, and you slowly, over the course of time, start to drift in a direction back into the world, back into the vomit, as the last episode is saying, the dog returning to its vomit. You are wandering away from the truth, going back to where you had been saved from. He said, that is a possibility. Brothers, you Christian brothers or sisters, if you have known the truth and you wander, you go away from the truth, right? Now, some people say, well, you know, that doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. God can still keep you saved while you're continuing to live in sin. And of course, another place in the scripture in Romans, it says, do we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, Paul says. But the idea here is that it's not that Jesus isn't powerful enough to keep us. It's that I'm turning my back and walking the other direction. And it's just like in normal life right now. If you're a parent and your child decides that they want to turn away from you and go in another direction, I could want them to not do that with all of my heart, but I can't make their choices for them. So I just kind of have to hope that maybe they'll come to their senses and turn back because I love them. I want them to be here. I want them to be in the fold of this family, you know? And that doesn't mean that they stop being your child. And sometimes people will use that as the kind of once saved, always saved thing to say, well, once a child, always a child. You don't turn away from God and then you're not his child anymore. But illustrations only go so far. In an earthly relationship, you have that biological connection to your parents because their DNA is in you. You can't not be their children anymore. With being the children of God, it is a covenant relationship where I choose to say, here's his covenant. I agree with his covenant. I'm going to repent of my sins and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, and he will then be my father and he will adopt me as his child, which leads me to believe that if I was to turn and go a different way, that covenant relationship can be broken. Same thing as a marriage. That covenant relationship can be broken in a marriage. Somebody can turn from their part of the covenant and the marriage is no longer there. And it's the same kind of idea. So that father, you know, child kind of illustration that people think is ironclad, those only can go so far. But he says here, brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, okay? So it is very evident then that there is a pathway of truth that this person has wandered from. And so the reason that this is helpful here, it says these people wander from the truth and someone turns him back. That means that you and I can see with our very eyes if somebody was walking in the ways of truth and decided then to turn and go in another direction. That leads me to believe that if someone's fruits do not line up with what the scripture's saying, then we can assume that they are wandering from the truth and that they are in danger. And it's now speaking to us as other Christians to look at those that are in the fold that have been coming to church with us, that have given their lives to Jesus, right? And we start seeing the fruits of their lives going in another direction, wandering from the pathway, right? And maybe they say something like, I feel so free right now. You know, I was in such bondage before, but I feel so free. Those are dangerous things for people to say at times because it can be that sometimes we have learned something and have been in some sort of a bondage and God can help us with that. But when they're saying I'm so free now and they're not calling sin sin anymore and they're being more comfortable with sin and more comfortable with the world, is it any reason that they feel less resistance? The devil is not fighting with them anymore because they've given in and they're going that way. So you and I, as believers, as fellow believers, if we see somebody wandering from the truth, their fruits show us they're wandering from the truth and they're going in the wrong direction, then we, and someone turns back, we then are to let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. So here's the thing that we need to understand in verse 20. It says that we, as believers, can be the bridge, I guess, or can be the roadblock in the way to stop somebody from continuing to go in that direction. And we should have that concern. And why would we want to stop them? Because if they're always saved, does it really matter? Well, we just want them to have their full reward, maybe someone would say. But it's more than that. When we look at what the scripture says here in verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner. Now, notice the sinner, I've heard people say, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. And sometimes I don't like the way that that's said because they're implying that they're still sinning right at this moment. And that could sound a dangerous slope as well. But he says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way. So this person was a sinner, got saved, became a saint of God, and is wandering from the truth and is now labeled as a sinner again. Okay? We're seeing this one who turns from God is now back in sin. They're called a sinner. If you are lying, you are a liar. If you go back into adultery, then you are an adulterer, right? We see those things happening in other facets of life. Why is it so hard to believe that somebody can walk with the Lord, turn from the paths of righteousness back into sin, and once again, they're a sinner? Because there they are living that life all over again. He says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. Okay, it's saving a soul from death. It's not saving a body from death. It's saving a soul from death. And the word here is psyche in the original Greek. So he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. So their soul is in danger is the point here. And that is why it is so important for us as other believers. If we see this happening with somebody, we watch the fruits of their lives going in a direction that is away from righteousness, the paths of righteousness, the fruit of Christ in their life. We should be alarmed and we should say, oh no, they're going the wrong way. They are in danger. Their soul is headed for death, according to this verse. Their soul can be saved from death. Well, I thought they were already saved from death when they got saved. Yes. However, they are turning their back on God and the ways of truth and righteousness and now are in danger again. And if we see it, we're to know this. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. So that's one thing that's awesome. We can save somebody from going into eternal death if they're turning and going the opposite direction. God has given that into yours and my hand, that we can stop somebody from eternal ruin if they're turning their back on Christ and walking away. But then in addition to that, it says that that action of the concerned believer trying to help the other one that's going astray will cover a multitude of sins. In other words, there's forgiveness. The church can grant forgiveness with open arms and scoop these people up and bring them back in and bring them into the fold. It doesn't have to be this big public display where we shame them and whatnot, although there is aspects of that where Paul says, let them go out there, let their flesh be destroyed, that their spirit saved, and they're kind of cut off from the fellowship of the church. But the idea here is that we can cover a multitude of sins. We can grant them forgiveness. We can cover a multitude of sins in the idea that they at this point don't have to continue in a life of sin. All those sins can then be covered over and stopped and abated instead of continuing to go on. So I hope that you see, as we're looking in here, it says, brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, if they wandered from that truth and you come in concerned and you say, hey, that's the wrong way, repent, come back to Christ, this is the way, let him know that he who turns the sinner from the error of his way, because it is an error for you to turn away from Jesus and continue to walk in sin, let him know that you have saved that soul from death and you will then cover a multitude of sins. Do you know somebody that's in that place? Are you in that place? You are going down a dangerous road. Your soul can be headed for death, but you can repent. God bless you. If this video has been a blessing to you, then I would ask you to like, to subscribe, to comment on the video. And then also, I'd love for you to visit godsresistance.com, and we will see you in the next video.